That's what he said in his interview with the Associated Press.
And you were against redistributing the income in that way. Is that what we're talking about, the Republicans?
No, I'm just suggesting he made a blunder. You know, if he's going to talk about tax reform in the broad sense, maybe that's all right. But when he gets specific, he better know what he's talking about. I'm not advocating I don't have a tax reform package. I'm on the Finance Committee. I understand a little about the tax code. But this was he's been talking about tax reform for the past 2 months, and Congress has been trying to deal with it. And we think we've made some progress. But for him then to say that I'm going to raise everybody's taxes who has a family, now I'm not talking a family income of over $12,000 to $15,000, that's half the American families.
But sir, you've been talking at one point about how Carter is going to take away $1,000 from every American.
Well, he's telling us now he's going to do it. He's answered our question. He's going to soak us with another $100 and some billion in programs if we follow the platform. And I guess this is how he's going to pay for it, by raising everyone's taxes who's above the median income. Now, you know, I don't determine the median income. It's determined statistically, and I think right now it's about $14,000 for a family.
How do you figure that $1,000 you've been talking about?
It's figured by the office, OMB. I think it's probably about $760.
What's it based on?
You divide the number of people into the dollars.
Into the $100 billion.
Well, $100 and some. You know, you could. That's a very conservative figure. We're giving him the advantage of any doubt there.
Well, let me ask you a political question, if I may. There are a good many Democrats and liberal Democrats that are pretty soft for Carter, or don't even like him. And you talk about trying to broaden the Republican Party. You don't seem, though, to have made any kind of speeches or remarks that would entice anybody that would be a little to the left of center to come over. Are you writing them off as possible Republican voters?
Well, I don't think so. I don't know precisely. You know, I've said it in the South, and trying to think, the first time I said we had to bring blacks and Spanish speaking, and I've talked about how working men and women, whether they belong to unions or not, were concerned about spending and defense, and they're not for the general pardon of draft evaders that Carter talks about. There are a great many issues. You know, the working people aren't looking for giveaway programs. If that's how Carter thinks he's going to attract votes, he may find out that he's hit the wrong chord.
Senator, you criticized Governor Carter for supporting the Humphrey-Hawkins bill. And in the interview, the AP interview yesterday, he said that he approved of he was opposed to the Humphrey-Hawkins bill in the beginning, but now that it has been amended, he approves of the amendment. Does that take away some of your criticism?
No, it's still the Humphrey-Hawkins bill. He didn't say what the amendment was. He said, I think, three things now. He said he was for it. He said he was, I think he said it in the same interview, but I've got, I can give you that precisely, his quotes. Peter, give me the quotes on the Humphrey-Hawkins.
The quotes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got the reference in the interview. This is the interview.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be on the ground in Cleveland in just over 5 minutes. The weather, as you can see, is good.
You know, he says first he's pushing passage, then he's not pushing. He's not urging passage.
Winds at 12 miles per hour.
I would remind him that
71 degrees.
The liberal Democrats who came to Congress in 74 voted 65 to 10. There are 75 of them men. Not to bring up the Humphrey-Hawkins this bill this year. But he was asked, are you urging your fellow Democrats in Congress to support the bill and pass it? He said yes. And then the word around town is that a number of Democrats in the House have told the leadership they don't want to come up to this election. Then he says, I'm not trying to push passage of the bill. But it's the same double talk from candidate Carter that I think and I would hope that would turn the American people off. Is he for the Humphrey-Hawkins bill? If it's some, quote, new version, what is the new version? Why doesn't he say what the new version is? Does he want to spend $40 billion for a government employment bill? Is that what he's telling us? Well, I hope not.
Governor Carter says in that interview that putting full employment into effect will actually save money.
Well, let's let him explain that one. Maybe he's going to save money by taxing everyone above the median income, which is half the American families. He doesn't tell us how it'll save money, as I recall. It's some simplistic formula he has there that I doubt that would stand much scrutiny.
Senator, what do you or President Ford have in mind to reform the tax system, or do you think that it's in pretty good shape the way it is? Carter is saying something and proposing something. You're attacking him, but we haven't really heard much about what the Republicans would do.
Well, I don't know what President Ford has in mind. I think we made some headway in the bill that's now on the president's desk. It's a difficult one. It raises the minimum tax. It does away with some of the tax shelters. It makes the investment tax credit permanent. I'm certain Governor Carter's for that. It saved him about $42,000 in 75 in taxes. So, you know, I can go through a laundry list of specifics that I voted for in the committee. We've reduced the DISC benefits, the domestic international sales corporation benefits. We're trying to tighten up on deferred income. So there are tax reforms, and it's a result of the Democrats control the Congress. So it's a mix of it's a bipartisan effort to reform taxes. Maybe not as far as some would go. I think the important thing is to simplify the tax system. We always talk about reform, and everyone's for reform. But when it gets down to basics and specifics, that's what we need to address ourselves to.
It's one month since you've been nominated. How would you assess your campaign in general terms, or specific terms?
Well, I think it's, I just believe that we're making progress. I'm becoming better known. The surveys indicate that I'm quite favorably known. But again, not well known. I mean, I'll be very candid. I assume Senator Mondale has the same difficulty. We are number two, and while Carter and Ford are universally known, we're still on about the halfway mark. But we believe we're tightening up our campaign procedures and our staffing. We think we're all equipped now, ready to go. But for 30 days, when you consider we hit the ground running, we've covered a lot of ground, and we've had good feedback, as has the president, I might add, from states we visited.
Senator, Governor Carter said that according to his figures, it would cost $3 billion to reduce unemployment for each 1% that unemployment is reduced in government spending, which is fairly specific, and he does outline how his advisor.
Yeah, I know. He's going to take it off welfare costs, he says, but he didn't explain that in the answer. I just don't buy it. If he's going to raise my taxes, if I make over $14,000, that's the part he better explain to the American people. And it's about like McGovern promising everyone $1,000 in 1972. He's got a real blunder on his hand, and it's probably going to be the major topic in the first debate, or should be the major topic. I think every taxpayer who has above the median income ought to tune in, and maybe he'll change his position.
Senator, a larger question. You've been a politician almost your entire adult life after the Army, and you come from a state that's not particularly diverse as far as minorities or a lot of industries. What makes you qualified to be president if you would have to take over on January 20th or 21st? Ford said that would be a major consideration
right.
in his choice.
Well, I think with reference to minorities, your specific question, I have had 16 years experience. I have an excellent civil rights record. I've got, a perfect record when it comes to defense of the Free State of Israel. So I think you have to look at my experience. In addition, I've been on the Budget and Finance Committees, the Agriculture Committee. I have a great number of my best friends are Democrats in the Congress. I've worked with presidents. I think I have the qualification based on experience.
Senator, you have also spoken out, as Governor Carter did, on welfare reform. Governor Carter now proposes that the states be relieved of the welfare burden and that eventually it should go all to the federal government, that there should be a uniform amount that each state gets, and then if a state wants to add to it, fine. Otherwise, the government would take care of it. How do you stand on that?
Well, I can understand the appeal that would have to states. It would reduce, they just wouldn't have any responsibility. But what about, we've had in other programs where the states make no effort. We have our abuses and our frauds and the increased cost, because then the states have no incentive to check on the program themselves. Once we federalize welfare and let the federal government assume all the costs, then we have no check by the state. We're finding that out in the food stamp program. Why should the state care who goes on the food stamp program? They don't pay any of the costs. They pay a little bit of the administrative costs, and that's all.
I think
in conclusion that Mr. Carter, while trying to appease some of the big states and the political leaders in those states, has again about to soak the American taxpayer to bail out a few politicians.
Well, are you satisfied with the welfare program as it stands now? No. You would make no change?
No, no one is satisfied with the welfare program as it is now, including the needy. And the easiest thing to do is stand up and say we ought to reform the welfare program and eliminate the greedy and help the needy. That's a great statement. I think what we need to do is take a look at the entire program and the administration of that program, just as we've done in the food stamp program. And I might add that I'm a co-sponsor of the bill that passed the Senate with Senator McGovern. We think we made some administrative changes that increased the benefits for those who should have food stamps, for example, and the same would apply to welfare. But I think one place we start is in HEW itself. Let's streamline that department some and see if we can't bring about some reform there before we start just sort of arbitrarily taking people off the rolls. I'm not convinced, as some are, that there are a great bulk of Americans out here who want to be on welfare. I've never been convinced that's the case. I think there are some people, who probably could work, but they're not a majority of people. I'm not convinced that the average American, white, black, or Spanish-speaking, or the below average economically, wants a welfare check. They want a job. So let's reform it with that in mind, not set up some straw man out here and say everybody wants to be on welfare. Let's get those off who shouldn't
Senator,
be. But
one final question. Is there anything more that you think the federal government could do to get those jobs for those people?
Well, I'd have to take a look at what the results of what we're doing now. We've made some changes in the law. They've changed the regulations some. There are work requirements. I'm not certain how strictly those are adhered to. But I think there you have to make a distinction, too. I don't think it's fair to say to someone on welfare who's otherwise qualified that they have to take the most demeaning job in town. It's got to be something that has some dignity to it. In other words, let's let people work, fine. But let's make certain that it's somehow comparable to their ability, not just anything because they're on welfare.
Do you want to be president? Not this year.
Yeah, right. I was going to say what year. Well, I don't know. That could happen, depending on what happens in November.
Do you feel prepared to be president if that should happen?
Well, I think so. I mean, who knows if they're prepared to occupy that office. But I've said, and I don't mean to be defeatist by it, that much depends on what happens November 2nd. If you're vice president, you do have a lot of planning time.
Thank you very much, Senator.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that introduction, Ralph. It's about like I wrote it. With a few editorial changes. We flew in today, and there are forests in the air, and I knew there were forests on the land, but now there are forests on the sea. I see a Ford Dole sailboat out there. We appreciate that very much. I guess the obvious remark one would make after meeting all the candidates is say that the party was perking up. I met a few people who weren't named Perk Ralph, but they're outstanding Republicans, outstanding leaders in their community, and I can only say that it's going to be a good year for us in Ohio. We're counting on Ohio. We hope Ohio's counting on us. I've been in Ohio so many times campaigning for Bob Taft and other Republicans that there was a time in Ohio they thought I was a member of the Senate from Ohio. And let me say, on behalf of Bob Taft, who's somewhere today working in Ohio, he's campaigning. That's right. Bob Taft, as you know, is an outstanding American, one of the great senators in all time. And I just want to say, as I said, in 1970s, I stumped this state with Bob Taft. He's a great American. He deserves your support. Let's reelect Bob Taft and send him back to the Senate. We've been traveling around the country a great deal, and we've been talking with a great number of people in the South, the North, the Midwest. Yesterday we were in New Jersey, the night before that in Alabama. We're going from here to Florida for two meetings this evening. And I tell you, as Ralph Burke indicated and Bob Hughes may have indicated earlier, there is movement in this election. And I tell you very candidly and very seriously and very sincerely, the movement is away from Mr. Carter, and the movement is toward President Ford's reelection. And if we needed any one thing to help this movement, it's coming out tomorrow. There's going to be an Associated Press interview tomorrow where they talk to Mr. Carter about taxes. Now, he said a great deal about taxes. He called our tax system a national disgrace when he was coronated in New York about 2 months ago. He later said that this tax system was filled with loopholes. That's before he took $41,000 off his income tax for the investment tax credit. That wasn't a loophole because that benefited him. Had that benefited you, it would have been a loophole. I don't know how many in this audience made $41,000 last year, let alone saved that much in your taxes, but I don't think I see too many. Certainly, I didn't find anybody on the platform. But I assume there are many in this audience who have a family income. I'm talking about family income above the median. And the median right now is somewhere between $12,000 and $15,000. That's the median income, probably around $14,000. Now, in answer to a question by an Associated Press interviewer, Governor Carter was asked what he meant by tax reform and who was going to pay more and who was going to pay less. Well, he said anybody under the median would pay less and anybody over the median would pay more income tax. And so the point is, ladies and gentlemen, if you're making between $12,000 and $15,000 as a family now, and I guess the figure's about $14,000, Mr. Carter's going to ask you to pay more income taxes if he's elected. That's not what I call tax reform. He's talking about half the families in America. And he's talking about an income that most everyone in this audience realizes as a family. And I say, if we ever had a reason to take a look at this man very closely, that reason was spelled out in this interview. And let me quote one other thing he said in that interview. Can't quote it all because I found it hard to believe. But I find him hard to believe at times, too, so... I think the hardest thing that he said so far to believe, and he said a lot of things. He said in this same interview, talking about average income families in America, he stated, and I quote, this isn't Bob Dole's quote or Bob Taft's or President Ford's or Ralph Perks. This is Mr. Carter himself. I don't think most of them want to see their taxes lowered. Anybody here who doesn't want to see their taxes lowered? If they are, I'd like to see you afterwards. We'll try to get some treatment to you right away. But that's what Mr. Carter says in the interview. The American people don't want lower taxes if they make $12,000 to $14,000 or more a year. He's suggesting they want higher taxes. Now, I guess he finally told us in this interview how he intended to pay for all those spending programs in the very, very liberal Democrat platform. And I address myself in this audience to, I hope, some Democrats and independents, yes, and Republicans, who have moderate to conservative views. If you look at the Democrat platform, you find in that platform, and you ought to take a look at it, some 65 new or added to or increased spending programs and some 22 expanded or added to or brand new federal agencies. And we took five of those programs and added up the cost. And on a very conservative basis, it's going to be over $100 billion. So I guess what he is saying when he responded to the question about raising your taxes if you make above $14,000, he's telling us how he's going to pay for that $100 billion in federal spending. I don't think he's going to be able to sell that to the American people. The result of this interview is going to be more erosion on behalf of the Carter support. It's very soft now. And I see a change taking place in America, all across America. In the South, yes, in Ohio, in my state of Kansas, and everywhere we go. Now let me say one or two other things. I'm very proud to be on the ticket with President Ford. I've known President Ford, as many Ohio Republicans and Democrats and independents have, for a great number of years. And as one commentator said last week, a nonpartisan commentator said, one thing about Jerry Ford you can say, and I think I can almost quote it, that this man hasn't changed since he became president. He's the same decent, honest person that American people look up to for leadership. That's what America needs. They need someone they can trust, someone with experience, someone with demonstrated leadership, someone who will not promise the moon, someone who won't suggest tomorrow or next week you ought to raise your taxes, someone who's not going to suggest $100 billion in new spending programs when most Americans are up to their ears now in taxes. That's the Jerry Ford I know. That's the Jerry Ford we all know. And that's the man we're going to elect on November 2nd as President of the United States. I assume in Ohio, you've heard about the Humphrey Hawkins bill. It's this big government employment bill, going to cost billions and billions and billions of dollars. No one is certain how it's going to be implemented. But again, Governor Carter can't seem to make up his mind. He was asked in this same interview, and I quote, "Are you urging your fellow Democrats in Congress to support the bill and pass it?" His answer was yes. Then they said, the word around town is that a number of Democrats in the House have told the leadership, that they would just as soon adjourn without having to go on record for this bill before the election. And he's answered that question, which is a direct contradiction. He said, well, I'm not trying to push passage of the bill. Now, I just ask you to take a hard look and to listen to very, very carefully what Mr. Carter says, because it changes very quickly. And it changes very often. And it changes almost daily. And the polls are changing daily, too. And the polls are looking better. Now, I've asked, when I was in Birmingham, Alabama, I suggest that I have my debate with Senator Mondale somewhere in the South. They only see him on television down there. They're afraid to take him down there with his very liberal voting record. You'll always recognize Senator Mondale. George Meany will be with him. I hope he accepts the challenge. We still haven't heard. We're still waiting with bated breath. Still hoping we'll have a chance to discuss some of the issues like gun control. He's one of 11 senators who voted for registration of handguns. I doubt you could get a consensus on that in this audience, could you? I don't think so. He's got a perfect AFL-CIO rating, which doesn't reflect the views of the rank-and-file union member, let me tell you. I don't think most union members or any other Americans or Ohioans for that point believe Governor Carter or want Carter to grant blanket pardons to those who evaded the draft, do they? And let me suggest that our position is no blanket pardon, no blanket amnesty, no blanket clemency. That's the Ford Dole position. We're more concerned, frankly, with those forgotten Americans, the POWs and the MIAs still missing in Southeast Asia, than we are with those who forgot America in a time of need. That's the Ford Dole position. And let me say finally that I've been in Ohio often enough, and I've traveled the country often enough to know that most Americans, Democrats, Republicans, independents, Spanish-speaking, black, white Americans, are concerned about freedom. They're concerned about liberty. They're concerned about the future of this country. And they don't want anybody in the presidency who's already advocating cutting $5 to $7 billion out of defense without telling us where he's going to cut it. I don't want to be number two in the world. I want to be number one for the sake of peace. And that applies to all Americans, Democrats, Republicans, or independents. And I've talked with Ralph Perk 100 times. If one thing ethnic Americans understand, it's liberty and it's freedom. They understand how precious it is and how important it is. And I say, let's don't take any chances. Let's stick with that demonstrated leadership of President Ford. He knows what it is to lead this country. And then finally, I know we're in some farm country, maybe not many farmers in the audience. Been a lot of talk about embargoes, and I won't bore some of the city folks with this. But anybody who lives on a farm ought to read the Reader's Digest coming out tomorrow. Mr. Carter's been traveling around farm country blaming President Ford for everything wrong, even the drought, I guess. If it doesn't rain, that's Ford's fault. Well, he says in an interview in Reader's Digest, he ought to stop having these interviews. He's just tearing up his old campaign. They say something's going to take a month to repair. But he says in the Reader's Digest interview that one of the causes of inflation were grain sales to Russia. This is that same candidate who's been out telling all the farmers that President Ford made that horrible mistake. We're not going to have any more embargoes if he's elected. It's just another case, ladies and gentlemen, where he can't make up his mind, or where he says one thing today and something else tomorrow. And so I say to your chairman, Bob, and to all the distinguished guests on the platform and the more distinguished guests who are out in front, who are here to help maybe Bob Dole, maybe President Ford, maybe Bob Taft, maybe Mike Scanlon, any of these candidates. Now, Mike's son works for me, so I promised his son I'd mention his name. So, or we have Paul Russo, too, and his mother's here somewhere, right? Paul also works for us. So I just say that I'm willing to risk your vote. I want you to look at my record. I've been in the Congress and the Senate and the House 16 years. I voted on almost every controversial issue. I trust the American voter. I don't go out and say, trust me. I say, look at me. Look at my record. Look at President Ford's record. And I believe that when you do this, you're not only going to vote for us November 2nd, you're going to work for us, as Ralph Perk says. It's in our interest. Yes, of course, we're selfish. We're running. That's not really the question. The question is, what's right for America? And I believe the right thing for America for the next 4 years is the election of President Ford on November 2nd. Thank you very much.